the morning show. The home team. No, it's both. It's the crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Right here on 960theref.com.
Episode 79 of the Crossover Podcast. Chris Brain, David Johnston with you, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. And business picking up in the sports world for sure. As we record this, we're about an hour away from the start of the NCAA tournament. We're 1 week away from opening day for Major League Baseball. I'm not counting the two games that were played already in Japan. The Braves start 1 week from today. Spring football is underway, so we've got a lot to cover. Dave, I guess we don't have to go too deep into the tournament, because by the time most people are listening to this, it'll have already started. I guess we could just throw out our final fours, and we'll either look really we'll either be in good shape or we'll look pretty dumb early on.
Yeah, we don't want to dive too deep, because we actually want to finish this so we can go watch some basketball. Yeah, I've got North Carolina winning the whole thing over Duke. Am I crazy?
Well, no. Those two teams have won plenty of national championships in the past. That'd be the fourth meeting between the two this year. So you've got North Carolina winning three of the four. Now, the first two they won, though, was without Zion.
I don't really count the first two, yeah. I don't count the first two. And they played a tight game at a neutral site. I say neutral. They played in Charlotte in the ACC tournament, so... You know, I think they'll play another tight game again if they do, in fact, meet up with each other. Well, thing is, I just want to see Zion play six more games. If they make it to the championship, I'm good with that.
Yeah, and then I want the Hawks with a 10.5% chance to win the lottery, and draft Zion. Here's my question, though: Will we pick on? Because remember when Alabama played Clemson in Santa Clara for the national championship, will we pick on basketball if North Carolina and Duke play in Minneapolis for the national championship? Or are we just, we're seasoned by the tournament now?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I guess with Minneapolis, at least they'll be indoors, right? So that won't hurt the crowd.
Yeah, they'll play in it. I assume they'll play in that dome, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll certainly help, but... That's where I am. I got North Carolina over Virginia, Duke over Michigan, and North Carolina winning it all.
I've got Gonzaga, Virginia in the final. I have Virginia winning it all. Virginia, the team that's lost its last two NCAA tournament games. I have them winning six in a row and cutting down the nets. I have Virginia beating North Carolina in the final four. I've got Gonzaga beating Michigan State in the final four.
So what are the totals of your seeds in the Final Four? Mine's five.
Me too. I've got three ones and a two.
So pretty chalky stuff there we've got going.
Yeah. That's how I ended up settling on it. I know I had talked a lot of game about Florida State and Auburn as dark horses, but I couldn't get past, ultimately, when I sat down and did it, the fact that I think between Florida State and Auburn, I both think are good enough teams to make the Final Four. But I also think Florida State and Auburn are more than capable of losing in the first round,
yeah,
too.
There's a lot of teams. It seems like there's more of those kind of teams this year than there usually are.
Yeah. But those two, I mean, in particular, one is a four and one is a five, and both made their conference tournament finals. And Auburn, of course, blew out Tennessee to win the SEC tournament. And I could absolutely see either one of those teams rolling on to the Final Four. But I look at Florida State playing Vermont and Auburn playing New Mexico State, and I could see both of them just getting dropped there. So I ended up just kind of sticking with a few blue bloods to make it all the way.
Do you feel like Auburn's in that situation where, man, we should have been higher than a five? This is not good. You know, we're disappointed we're not a five, and they're going to go out and lay an egg. Or could it be the opposite, where we should be better, and so we're going to prove it and go out and play well? You don't know. The problem is, I guess you've said that too, is it's like, even, you know, Auburn's like, even if they win, more than likely they're looking at Kansas, and then if they win that, they're looking at North Carolina. I mean, it's just like they put them in a tough bracket.
Yeah. And then to play, and again, while we're recording, they played Sunday afternoon, and they're playing at 1:30 on Thursday.
Right.
So, and by the time you're listening to this, that game's already happened, but it's in the past.
Look out, New Mexico State from the – tell me what conference they're in, Brain.
Are they in the Mountain West?
Nope.
They're in the Sun Belt
or
something.
They were in football, but they're not anymore.
Are they an independent
now? They're in the WAC.
Oh, the WAC. See, that was going to be my first guess, and something in my head's like, I thought the WAC didn't exist anymore.
Nope, it's still a thing. And okay. They won the WAC tournament.
All right. Yeah. That was I was going to say WAC, and I went, I don't think that exists anymore. I think they got rid of that.
I miss the good old days of the WAC in football.
Yeah, so the WAC is gone in football, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, well, if it is, it might be an F. I don't know if it's an FCS. I'm not sure if it's. It's not FBS, obviously.
Right.
So I don't know if it's gone in football. I just know it's not on our radar in football.
Yeah. Do you have anything wacky in the Elite Eight? The wackiest I got, I have Wofford in the Elite Eight.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, but other than that, I've got.
My Spartanburg boys. I've got Oregon in the Sweet 16, but that might be kind of silly.
Yeah. I didn't get too nuts. I've got Gonzaga over TBT, which is a 1-3. I have Duke over Sparty, which is 1-2. Or I have Sparty over Duke, but I've got Duke and Sparty in there. And
same
then I've got
here.
Virginia and Purdue.
I do too.
Which is a 1 and a 3.
Yep.
And then so the craziest I got was Wofford. I mean, Wofford is a 7 seed.
Oh, I love the Terriers.
So
love the Terriers.
And
I didn't have them going past Kentucky.
And I think North Carolina played them at Wofford during the regular season.
Like, it might have been the first game of the year. But the interesting thing about that was, yeah, they went to Spartanburg and played that game. And it was close. And at the time, you think, well, okay, let's just say more about North Carolina, more about Wofford. I was wondering, and I never really got an answer on this, did they schedule that game to try to get Zion? Have you ever, I mean, could teams, you know, Zion's from Spartanburg.
Right.
What if you're North Carolina and you're Roy Williams and you're staff and you're like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call Wofford and tell them we'll come down there and play them. Not really tell them why. Put that on the schedule. Zion's coming out of the Spartanburg Day School, and we're like, hey, you sign with North Carolina, you'll get to play a game in Spartanburg.
We'll give you a home game.
Give you a home game. Is that a recruiting tool? I mean, is that something that could happen? I think it absolutely could. I don't know if that's how that ended up happening, but it is kind of a weird coincidence that North Carolina played at Wofford the year Zion is in college. Now, of course, it didn't work out because he signed with Duke, but I just wonder if teams don't think about trying that kind of stuff more often.
Well, when we had Yonte Maton, Georgia went up and played, Oakland?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's...
I know it used to be kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So, but then again, it would be like, well, for Yonte's junior year, we're gonna have a game in Oakland, or we'll have a game against Michigan State or something like that. But to literally, for a one-and-done... For a guy that you know is not going to be there very long, to schedule a game like that is, I think, pretty creative, if that's why that happened.
Yeah. Didn't work out for him.
Didn't work
Duke
out,
Duke ended
no.
up with him.
Coach K is like, oh, enjoy that trip to Sparkle City.
Yeah.
You're about to step into a hornet's nest.
Well, I mean, I guess it worked out for Carolina that they did dodge him twice, though, since he blew his shoe out.
That's a good point. Yeah, Roy's
game.
Like, we went 2-1 against him. Well,
yeah.
Not really, but sort of.
Yeah. So I ended up with, anyway, nothing too crazy in my bracket. Because I've been saying, I wonder if this will be a year where you do see just higher seeds, because they finally ditched the RPI. And now that they're using that net rating,
yeah.
I think that's a better measuring tool. And, you know, so it could turn out that the brackets now that we see are actually seeded a lot better. And you've got a situation now where the higher seeds do just end up advancing because there's not a high seed that is seeded incorrectly like Xavier was last year when they were a 1.
I have to give some credit to our buddy John Bateman over at the University of Georgia, because I was confused how potentially Minnesota and Michigan State could be playing in the second round since they're both in the same conference.
Right.
Did you think that was kind of strange? Because I thought you couldn't meet until later in the tournament.
I thought they used to have a thing where they wouldn't do that until the Sweet
right.
16.
Right. So he got back to me, and here's how this works. If you play once during the regular season, you can play that early. If you play twice during the regular season, then not before the Sweet 16. And if you've actually played 3 times, you couldn't meet before the Elite 8.
Okay.
So that's the rule there.
There also could be in this day and age some confusion over whether or not teams are in the same conference.
Yeah. Like when you you're like, wait, what about Nebraska? Nebraska's in the NIT, but what conference are they in?
Yeah, because like suddenly you could have Maryland in there and realize that like, oh, Maryland and Michigan State are now in the same conference. That's not an ACC
exactly.
and a
exactly
in a Big Ten matchup anymore.
But I thought that was interesting. So apparently Minnesota and Michigan State only played once this year, so it would be possible for them to meet in round number two.
All right, it worked out. He had seven SEC schools in the bracket too. I don't have much. I ended up like LSU. I had knocked out in the second round. I got Florida losing to Nevada in the first round. I got Kentucky losing to Wofford in the second round. I had Tennessee getting bounced by Perdue, and it was Mississippi State I have in the Sweet 16. So I've got the Bizarro Bulldogs as my my deepest advance out of the SEC.
Yeah. I'm with you. I've got just a couple of teams advancing. In fact, Kentucky's the only SEC team that I have in the Elite Eight. And Kentucky and Tennessee, I think, are the only SEC teams I have in the Sweet 16. Although it's kind of weird because I've really enjoyed the basketball in the SEC has definitely been better.
Yeah, this has been as good as the conference has been in a while.
Year.
But in the end, and you had LSU won the regular season title and Auburn ends up winning the tournament title. So, but in the end, Kentucky's going to be the last team standing in the tournament.
I mean, it makes sense.
That's how it worked for Florida a couple years ago when they ran the table, right? They went undefeated in the league, and they won the tournament. They both went to the Final Four, but Kentucky went to the championship
game. Kentucky got them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of wins in a row there for the Gators. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's basketball, and in the SEC, who usually ends up on top at the end of the year? Kentucky.
Kentucky.
So that would make sense that they're going farther than anyone else. I just can't. With Tennessee and Auburn, and then LSU, I feel like there's just too much noise going on with them right now. I would like them better if Will Wade were still coaching them, but maybe they'll do the same thing I was talking about earlier with Auburn. Maybe they'll rally.
Yeah, just play mad.
And play mad.
A chip on their shoulder. I'm just troubled by the fact that they played seven overtime games and won in the – well, they played six of them came in the SEC, and they won five of those. They lost one non-conference to Florida State. So they were 5-2 in overtime games.
So the only way Yale can beat them is to beat them in regulation, right?
They can't get
them in overtime.
Plus, they had the win at Kentucky where the controversial finish
–
and when they beat Missouri, they were down 14 with like 2 minutes to play, and they came back and won that game.
And the Dogs hung with them.
Georgia, that was in that stretch of games where the Dogs were just losing those close games and finally were able to beat the Gators, though.
Before they just shut it down.
Yeah, things just crumbled at the end of the year. What would you say right now? Because Tom Crean's putting together a heck of a class.
Yep.
And I
love it.
We know Tyshawn Hightower's already announced he's transferring. Don't suspect that that's going to be the last of the roster attrition from guys who could potentially be back. You know, with the Ant-Man coming in would be the crown jewel of the class for sure. What are your –
How do you look at the recruiting class? It's like I think with the latest commitment – Georgia moved up to like number six in the country.
Yeah.
So you've got Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And then you've got, three other guys in the top 100, right? Like two guys in the 60s or something and another in the 90s.
The kid from Bama, Walton.
Yeah. I know it sounds like I'm kind of downplaying the recruiting class. I guess my question is, how much is Ant-Man skewing things here a little bit? But I like where Coach Crean's going. It's not that. It's just – I'm tempering the excitement a little bit, although I'm very excited. I guess I'm just trying to – how do you look at the – is it the number six class in the country? Of course, if you got the number two guy in the nation, then that's huge. How do these other guys potentially fit in? Because Georgia does have a good nucleus coming back, too, especially if Hammonds is healthy and Claxton and Crump and Harris. I mean, there is a good nucleus coming back, too.
What would be the – like – a reasonable forecast for next year to go from two wins in the SEC.
Yeah, like we talked about last week.
Yeah.
To say 500.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that like.
I think that's reasonable.
Is that asking a lot, you guys?
Yeah, you guys. I think that's reasonable.
So 50-50 Georgia's in the tournament next year?
I would hope so.
Or better than 50-50.
I don't want to get too crazy.
50-50.
I just want to be in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be on the good side of the conversation, the good side of that bubble.
Well, and the worst be in the NIT.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Although Ant-Man didn't come in here to go to the NIT.
No, I mean, if Georgia could end up in the NIT, and he probably wouldn't play in it.
Because we're seeing that with who?
Well, the kid from Arkansas.
That's right.
Although they blew out Providence.
They did, but now they got to go to Indiana.
Yeah.
But who knows on that. And as we speak, Alabama lost to Norfolk State last night.
Yeah, they did.
Was that good for you?
No, I didn't even. Okay. I wasn't even.
I don't even know what that number would have been.
It was. I think it was 16 and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was flipping channels last night, and I happened to pass by that game, and it looked like there was no one in that building.
I was watching Texas and South Dakota State a couple nights ago, and it was the same thing in Austin.
Yeah.
Well, Texas did end up winning the game, but
it was close, though.
Yeah, but there was nobody there.
By the way, did you catch any of Arizona State and St. John's last night?
Some of it was awful, though. I stopped watching it.
All right, so Bobby Hurley, other than his looks, he has not changed one bit since he played at Duke.
Yeah.
And Chris Mullen, I don't know what's happened to him.
He's aged.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He looked like he'd been in a fight.
Yeah, he's all
his
red.
His face was all puffy and red.
Yeah. And he might have been.
I don't know. I was stunned by that. And it's just, I was like, Chris, where have you been?
Yeah. And Hurley just is, he's that same despicable character that he was when he got a
technical when I was watching him.
I saw that too.
It didn't look like he was really doing enough to get a technical.
No, I think he asked the ref, like, what is.
What was that call for? Why did you call a foul there?
Yeah.
That wasn't just. He didn't get the technical for that. That must have been building.
It had
up.
Been building because there were a couple times when he would stare down an official. And
I've seen Bobby Hurley for 10 minutes in the last 20 years, and he gets a technical.
Yeah. And it's like, my gosh, you haven't changed.
Exactly.
You're that same guy I've disliked ever since you played for Puke.
And then they said they had a graphic that, like, he's gotten more – technicals or something. It was like 6 or 7 technicals this year.
Yeah, we go there next year, right?
Yep.
And play
I think
them
because so.
They came here this season.
By the way, I am curious to, you know, a lot of what we talk about for next year, a lot of it will depend on the non-conference schedule and winning some of those games.
Well, Georgia's got Maui.
Yep.
And then the Arizona State game.
Yep, we know that.
Yeah.
And does Temple, UMass? That was two basketball games and a football game, that I think. So
because we've gone there and they've been here.
That's right. Yeah.
And their football team came here, too.
Yes, they did. Yes.
That Andy Isabella caught a lot of passes.
Yes, he did. He's good.
All right, we'll do a quick break. Now a word from our sponsor, Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. We'll come back. We'll talk a little Georgia football, spring football, which has started. And we've also got that itch is getting scratched with some early – lines on games, including there are 4 involving Georgia next fall. So we'll touch on those coming up. It's the Crossover Podcast. Chris Brame, David Johnston with you here on 960theref.com.
Friends and family piled around the table, sharing big cheesy slices of pizza, golden baked calzones and strombolis, platefuls of zesty lasagna. It's not Nana's Kitchen in Southern Italy. It's Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. At Fully Loaded, you'll find all these Italian favorites like wings, salads, and hoagies. A full bar and patio, too. Family dinner, date night, or hanging out with friends. Get more out of it at Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in the Manners Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
Crossover Podcast. It is episode 79, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Chris Brame, David Johnston with you. Thanks a lot for listening, however it is you are. If you're just on demand at 960theref.com, you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. And then every time we post a new episode, we'll just be delivered right there to your whatever app you use, I guess, to listen to podcasts. So iTunes, 960theref.com, all the ways you can listen and catch every new episode of the Crossover Podcast. Also, be sure to email us 960theref@coxradio.com. Your fully loaded question of the week. If we use yours, you'll get a fully loaded Pizza Kitchen gift card to go and enjoy the great eats out there at Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. Spring football's already started. What do you think? The big thing, Dave, is you got 2 new coordinators, offense and defense, but ultimately no one's really expecting a lot to change, especially with the offense and the way things look overall. I did like that it took one practice for there's a new defensive coordinator, and guess what? He brings the energy.
Are you stunned by that?
I'm not at all, no.
Yeah, he brings the energy. I did like what Jake Fromm was saying the other day. Same with Andrew Thomas. It's like with Coley coming in as the offensive coordinator now, terminology is going to be similar. They're not going to have a whole bunch of things changing. It's going to be something that they're used to, which I'm glad to hear that too. And that means less times during the season. Calls might get messed up, that kind of thing too. And then on the other side of the ball, yes, it's a different coordinator, but it's still a guy from the staff who apparently does have a lot of energy.
Yeah, well, he's young, so he has energy.
He has energy. His motor is always running, all that stuff.
Charlton Warren,
yeah.
Who was in the Air Force. He's an ex-military man. Yeah. He brings a lot of discipline.
A lot of discipline. Yeah. A lot of energy and a lot of discipline.
There are a lot more discipline now in the secondary, so you've got that. Here's Jim Chaney was such a polarizing guy for Georgia fans. I think he's a good coach. I didn't have problems with him. I mean, sure. I mean, I think his play calling was perfect. No. Georgia averaged 38 points a game last year. Like, how many more points per game do you think Georgia can average under James Coley than it was averaging last year under Chaney? And if we average fewer points, then are people going to be mad at Coley immediately? The answer is yes, of course, because that's how fans work.
They will be. Do you look at it like their overall numbers, or do you want to break it down like, well, how did they do on third and goal from inside the five? Or how did they, you know, what was the offense like then? I mean, there were – and I'm like you. I don't have any problems with Coach Chaney. He's been doing this for a long time. The things from last year that were kind of strange, the way they handled fields seemed kind of clunky. There were some goal line situations where Georgia didn't seem to.
Yeah,
to
the
do
Florida
well.
Game was embarrassing.
Yeah,
even though we ended up blowing them out. But
yeah. So, again, but the overall, like you said, the overall body of work is, yeah, how many more points per game can Georgia score? And if you want to take the 38 number and just do SEC games, break it down, it was still a lot of points.
Right.
It may not have been 38 a game, but it was still a lot. So, you know, how do you reconcile the Sugar Bowl? There was just so many weird things going on with that.
Yeah, to me, that was just a game where the team was checked out.
Yeah.
And I mean, I expected it to be the case.
Yeah.
And Texas is an easy team to figure out under Tom Herman. When they're an underdog, they will win.
He good.
Yeah.
When he's the underdog, which, by the way, I don't want to get off the Georgia subject, so we'll hold off on it, but their number against Oklahoma, and something we'll be talking about here in a minute, was pretty alarming. I thought it was kind of alarming.
It's
17?
Take Texas. That's a lock.
Is that what you got, 17?
That might have come down.
Okay, let's see here. I'll check and see. But I thought I saw 17.
Well,
for the Oklahoma,
they're a three-point dog at home against LSU. When is that
game?
Like
I said, I didn't mean to get us sidetracked, but I thought that was a rather large number. Now I don't see it. Did it come off the board?
Let's see. I see Texas and LSU.
Texas, yeah, he said, as a three-point dog in that one.
Texas plus four at West Virginia, plus two at TCU. Minus.
Well, maybe I just had a dream.
No, I saw that too. That's come. They've taken that away, and I would probably think the reason they did that is because if they put 17.5, then they probably were just flooded with Texas money.
Yeah.
Because that was the same thing. I kept seeing earlier in the week that LSU was opening -7 at Texas, and I'm like, that's an awful line. And I do see now it's -3.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, who's playing LSU -7 at Texas?
Market adjustments.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't see the – but isn't that something, though, because Texas, they come off the win against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. There's going to be a lot of preseason hype with them. And how many games did I just throw out there where they were an underdog to even West Virginia and TCU?
Right. Yeah. But it's year three, not year two, right, for Tom Herman.
Right, so they already had their year two bump by winning the
Sugar
Bowl.
Exactly. Now everybody's high on them. So I assumed that the touts were trying to tell us something by making them such a huge underdog against Oklahoma.
Well, the way things work with Herman, even going back to his days at Houston as a head coach, when he's catching, He is straight up money.
Yeah, he's good.
I'll keep riding that until it fails. For Georgia, there were four games on the board. The first one, Notre Dame, Georgia -11.5. Too high, too low.
That's about right.
Yeah,
I think that's about right.
I think Georgia's going to crush them.
Yeah, 31-13. How does that score sound?
Sounds good.
Yeah, that would be a cover.
Yeah.
Yes.
They only scored three against Clemson, though, so maybe 13's too high.
That's a good point.
The one that does freak me out a little bit, Georgia -4 in Jacksonville against the Gators. The Gators are a team, when you look over a few of their other lines, too, that are popped out there that seem like they're a team that's getting a little going to be hyped here in the preseason.
I was doing this weird comparison thing. So see if you can follow me on this. So Georgia's about a 14 or 15-point favorite against A&M here in Athens.
Yeah.
Alabama, and this I guess they go to A&M, right?
Yeah, they do.
About a 13-point favorite. So you know, you'd say Georgia, Alabama, at least the way Vegas is looking at those two teams, very similar. And then I was looking at – I guess it's – it's LSU and Florida. What was the number on that one?
That is LSU -2.5.
2.5. Okay, this is where I was going. So LSU. So now, how much is Bama favored over LSU? That would be 17. But Georgia's only favored by 4 over Florida. So I guess what I'm getting at here is it looks like Bama thinks Georgia and Alabama are similar. And Vegas thinks LSU and Florida are similar just by these point spreads.
Right.
Then why is Georgia only a 4-point favorite over LSU or over Florida?
I don't, because another one you could look at too is we're -9 at Auburn. Florida's -7.5 against them at home.
Yeah.
So we're a 9-point road favorite. Florida's 7.5, but we're only 4 on the neutral.
Yeah, I'm confused by that. What are they trying to tell us? Are they not trying to tell us anything?
Maybe it's a free money giveaway in Jacksonville. Georgia's blown them out 2 years in a row. -4 is a gift, right?
Is LSU – I keep saying LSU. Is Florida the hot offseason team that everybody's going to get behind?
I think they're going to be coming off winning the Peach Bowl, and for them it is their second year under Mullen. But, man, I mean, Felipe Franks was better last year. Under Mullen's watch, because Mullen's going to get – he's going to have good quarterbacks, but still, Felipe Franks.
Well, he was better last year for sure, but in the Georgia game, he looked like the Felipe Franks we're used to. Yeah.
I mean, just sitting right here several months away from that game, we're better at quarterback, we're better at running back, we're better on the lines of scrimmage. I mean, where's Florida? And they still have – they still have Grantham.
Yes, they do.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely say Georgia's going to be – but the wild card, though, is the new coordinator. But should that matter? That's the question.
I think it's less –
Coley was already on the staff.
It's same thing with Lanning and then even, you know, for whatever Schumann, whatever part he'll play as the co-defensive coordinator.
Right. So the way I look at it, which is what I was trying to get to a moment ago, is like, I'm surprised Georgia's only a 4-point favorite over Florida.
No, it is odd. That's the one that really stuck out to me more than any, and especially when you know, given the results of the last 2 years down there, and with Mullen, with that subtext to that quote, that certainly, I don't think it's a stretch to say that he was talking about Josh Fields. And how Georgia recruited him and whatnot, that, Kirby's going to file that away.
Kirby's really good at that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't like to let that stuff get away. He'll figure out a way to kind of get back at Mullen for that.
And if there's a chance to put a little extra hot sauce on that game next year, then we will.
I would like to thank him, Coach Mullen, that is, and their AD, Scott Strickland, and whoever is responsible at Miami for moving their game to week 0.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Which Florida is a 7.5-point favorite against the Canes.
Yes, yes.
Now, does the fact that Tathan Martell is eligible.
Oh, boy. The portal.
Yeah.
And not having to sit out.
Nope.
Should they just go ahead and say anybody can transfer at any point and –
No, they pretty much are now.
And not have to sit out.
Yeah.
I mean, what's next? I mean, like transferring during the game?
Yeah.
Like, could Tate Martell transfer during the game and play the first half for Miami and the second half for Florida? I mean, that's what it feels like it's getting
well,
to.
Well, we've already had him. The best one is the kid that signed at USC, started classes there, and like 2 weeks later went to the portal, and now he's at Texas.
I know. So, I mean, that's basically what that is.
Yeah.
At some point, you don't even have to wait till the end of the year. Just do it in the middle of the year. If you want to go somewhere else in October, you go for it.
I think we need a current high school senior to just go ahead and enter the portal. And I'm like, well, you can actually sign wherever you want first.
Right.
No, I'm just going to go ahead and jump in the portal.
Put in the portal.
Yeah.
There's 2,000 names already in there.
Get it over
what's
with.
What's one more?
Yeah, that's the best. All right. Well, real fast before we wrap up. So Notre Dame just right. So, all right, Florida, Georgia -4. Too high, too low, just right.
It feels too low. Doesn't feel Georgia and Florida 4?
Yeah.
That feels too low.
So Georgia should be a bigger favorite.
I think.
Okay.
Don't you?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Auburn, Georgia -9.
Oh, man. That is I'm worried about that one because it's at Auburn.
And Auburn
I'm not worried about the game. I mean, I'm worried about the game, but the number.
Auburn's
sure.
off the week before.
Yeah.
We play Missouri.
Yeah, I would proceed with caution on that one.
My March lean is that's too high.
Right.
Like by the time that game is still in November, right, this year?
Apparently, yes. Okay. It's in the middle of November.
So
yes.
By the time November rolls around, are we still going to be favored by 9 on the road against Auburn? I'm going to say no.
Who will they – let's see. Who do they have for their non-conference? Do you know right off the top?
I don't.
Okay, I don't either.
Oh, no, they open with Oregon.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's a huge game for them.
Yeah.
That is a huge game for them.
And I believe they play Florida this year for their other East.
Yes.
So
their schedule is not easy.
No.
So are they beat down a little bit by the time they get to play the Dogs?
But they do have the bye.
But they do have the bye, yes. Yes. So I don't know. That one seems a little high right now.
Yeah, because here's their run-up to Georgia. They host Ole Miss, are off, then play us and have Samford the week after. So they've got...
Their schedule sets up.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a solid couple of weeks to just dial in on Georgia.
Yeah.
And then A&M -13.5.
When I first saw that, I thought that was like, wow, 13.5. But then I saw some of the other ones, and I thought, well, maybe that does seem about right, except where it is on the schedule is just... brutal for Georgia.
Yeah.
Between Auburn and Tech.
The Aggies have LSU on the road the week after. They host South Carolina the week before.
Yeah. So they don't have it like Auburn does with a bye week, but still, that seems like a lot of points.
It does.
But what if, yeah, but then I start thinking of scores in my head. And I was like, all right, well, 31-14, 34-14. I don't know.
If we beat them by more than 2 touchdowns. That's a good sign.
That's
a good sign for Georgia.
That is a very good win.
All right.
I think that point spread's right on it.
Okay.
That's kind of how I look
at
it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, too.
Yeah.
Florida. So Florida too low, Auburn too high, the other two just right.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Appreciate you checking us out again this week. Don't forget to email us 960theref@coxradio.com. Your fully loaded questions of the week. If we use yours, we'll give you a fully loaded Pizza Kitchen gift card.
That is awesome.
Yeah. You type something, you hit send. We look at your question, we answer it, and we'll send you the Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen gift card. Thanks to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Again, subscribe to us on iTunes. Whenever we post a new episode, then, it'll just magically appear for you. You can check it out, or you can listen on demand anytime at 960theref.com. For David Johnston, I'm Chris Brain. This has been the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville on 960theref.com.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville on 960theref.com.